Oh, hello. Can we please talk about UFC Vegas 56 that took place at the weekend? I put down some really terrible bets. My terrible bets were right on the money this week because I went 3 and out, which is exactly what I say they're going to be. I identify usually how fighters are going to win, and I look at some longer odds and I think, yeah, that'll work. It's really a terrible betting system. You should not be following it. Anyway, it's always good for a laugh. So I'm going to be recapping UFC Vegas 56, having a quick look at who star shone the brightest, who's good to look out for in the future, some possible matchups to make, as well as looking through the news. There's not a huge amount in MMA news this week. There's a couple of fighters beefing on Twitter, as we love a good Twitter beef, don't we? It's entertaining. So yeah, I'm going to be doing all of that on the Burt Locker episode 120. So let's start off. One guy that did look really good. He wasn't on my bet slip, but Tony Gravely. He's one to watch out for. He's got some really nice power. What is it? I think they're either welterweights or lightweights. I was just watching the fight, so I can't remember what weight class they're in because it wasn't on my radar. But I do remember it was Tony Gravely that landed this. Ooh, this sweet uppercut as his opponent was just shooting in to take him down. And originally they thought it was his hip that caught him because that has happened before. I believe it was Matt Mitrione knocked out Derek Lewis with his hip because Derek Lewis went to kind of do a football tackle on him or something. He just, or it might have been the other way around. I forget which way around it was. It might have been Mitrione trying to take down Derek Lewis and knocking himself out on Lewis's hip. Either way, I'm fairly sure that was the two fighters. Let me know in the comments, because that's really stumped me. Well, I know it was those two fighters. I can't remember who knocked out who on whose hip, though. Derek Lewis or Matt Mitrione. I think it was Matt Mitrione knocking himself out on Derek Lewis's hip. Could have been the other way around. Ah, fuck knows. Anyway, Gravely, it turns out it wasn't. Gravely just landed a lovely short little uppercut that it just, there's almost nothing there. It's like, boop. But it was enough. He's got some serious power. It was enough and just, knocked his opponent's back out. Lovely stuff. Stoltz versus Saint Denis, very fun fight. Go back and watch that one if you can. I do like Benoit Saint Denis because he's like French Special Forces. He's one of those guys, he's just like, he doesn't always win. He's a little bit like Paulo Thiago, was it? The guy who was like in the Brazilian like Favela Special Force like guys. He basically did like cage fighting for fun as a bit of stress release outside of work. And there was a certain coldness to him, just like, I think it was Paulo Thiago. I'm fairly sure. Anyway, he's just had this kind of stoic like, nothing fazed him. He didn't always win, but nothing fazed him. And it's the same with Benoit Saint-Denis. Like, he gets like lit up and like he's had his share of losses and whatever, but nothing fazes him because he's just, do you know what I mean? He's just one of those guys that's seen so much worse than anyone can offer him in the octagon. Anyway, it was a very good performance from him, actually. Lovely. In the second round, I think it was, he did a lovely high kick, then straight into a takedown. It was very well put together, good combinations. And the submission that he finally got was extremely good because he's a high-level Brazilian jiu-jitsu player. So, yeah, Benoit Saint-Denis, keep an eye out for him. He said he wants to fight on the London card, and I would like to see that personally. I think that'd be really good fun. And I don't know who against, just find him an opponent, really. Da Silva, he looked okay against Selecki. I thought it was a tough second round, but obviously he looked very good in the third. I thought that actually Selecki was lucky-ish. Selecki wasn't lucky, he just toughed it out. He was very good, he showed his toughness. I didn't think that was going to a decision, honestly. Fair play to Selecki, he edged it. But I was betting on the Da Silva finish anyway, so I knew that my bet was out of the water. Absolutely terrible. And Rozenstruik versus... I forgot one. Menifield, didn't it? Yeah, Menifield. He didn't do his standard starting slow. He started fast, got his opponent out there with a nice... what is it called? Salivary top, I think. And it's like where he's got his like kind of a crucifix, got his arm pinned, and he's just smashing him with elbows. Salivary Top, I believe, because I assume the first person to do that, who last name was Salivary, I would like to presume. Let me know in the comments. What's the origin of that name? I'm relatively sure it is the Salivary Press. And it's just, yeah, when you've got their arms pinned and you're just elbowing them to oblivion. Great performance from Menafield. He's clearly started picking up the pace a bit. And I just don't know how good his opponent was, actually, to be fair. Because that was the one caveat was, yes, his opponent has had four first-round knockouts, but against who? Do you know what I mean? In what organization? So I ain't never, well, I think he's been in PFL, but they weren't the organizations he was in. Anyway, I'm sure the Ukrainian Conor McGregor will be back before we know it. Shit chest tattoos and all. Wish them both all the best. I think... yeah, Menafield probably needs another opponent that he can get his teeth into to build up his, like, some wins, get some wind in his sails, you know? Because it seems like when you put him against kind of more of the higher guys, that he tends to come unstuck. But we'll see, we'll see. Then you obviously had Rozenstruik against Volkov. Entertaining while it lasted, it really was. It was one of those fights, there was a lot of tension there because it was just two big guys that like to throw down. And actually, Rozenstruik, he arguably looked like better than he has done previously, because against Garn, he just kind of looked like he was afraid to pull the trigger because of the speed, whereas he didn't seem to have that problem against Volkov. He really started throwing some big heavy shots, and Volkov actually just kind of got a counter in, and then he went forward and just lit it. It was that little first counter that kind of stunned Rozenstruik, and then Volkov got him like against the fence and just unleashed with a combination. And there are some people that are saying that it was an early stoppage. It really wasn't, guys. That really wasn't. When you look at like the body language from Rozenstruik, Rozenstruik was going to the ground. The only thing that was holding him up was the fence. It was a perfect stoppage from Herb Dean. It stopped Rozenstruik from taking more damage, because that is all that was going to happen. The only reason Rozenstruik was able to get away and then kind of take a few steps and reset was because Herb had stopped it. Do you know what I mean? Like, outside of that, there was some severe damage about to be done. That was a perfect stoppage. It wasn't just a good stoppage, it was perfect, actually. So people just loved, they love to shit on the referees. They love to kind of like to say, oh yeah, well look, he was still fine. No, Rozenstruik was not fine. The only thing holding him up was the fence. He was falling backwards. The body language was terrible. Like he was just going to take more damage. And I think that was a very good stoppage. And I had money on Rozenstruik. So, do you know what I mean? I should have been crying for, you know, it was an early stoppage. But no, it was a perfect stoppage, in all honesty. Who's next for Volkov? I mean, the problem is, he just lost to Garn. He just lost to Aspinall. Maybe they could put him up against... Rogério de Lima. He's a bit of a savage. That guy. Yes, Volkov against that guy. Because this guy's good. He just goes in, like, swinging. He is he's a bad man. And, you know, Volkov, like, he's a bad man. I would watch that main event. That main event of Fight Night. Lovely, lovely stuff. So, anyway, speaking of... anyway, just before I get into the news, just before I say thank you to all those that that watch, subscribe. If you could like and subscribe as well, please. Share as well. It's very important. Let me know stuff in the comments. Ask me questions. Call me a dickhead. Don't care. Helps the algorithm. Please just do that. If you want to go and check out the Patreon has early access to picks, and actually it does have exclusive content. What I do is I do all my fight pick videos, but I select some of like the fight pick videos just to be exclusive on the Patreon. They don't appear on the main video. You'll only see those over on the Patreon, so there are exclusive picks there, as well as early access to all the picks, and it's £1 a month. It's an absolute bargain. It's the best way to support the show. So thank you to those that already subscribe, and on with the show. So speaking of Herb Dean, Masvidal says that he doesn't like Herb Dean because he thinks that he's got something about it against him, doesn't like his vibe, doesn't like what he brings to the table or something like that. And it's like, okay, cool. But the way he was talking, it was like, yeah, I just hope he doesn't ref any of my fights because, you know, he tends to like to stop it early. It's like, George, what? Which of Herb's stoppages against you has got you worried, mate? I mean, there's only one stoppage that he's refed, that where you got stopped. I think you've only been stopped once by knockout, and it was the Usman one. With respect, in what respect was that a bad stoppage, George? What, you think the Usman knockout was a bad stoppage by the ref? I mean, he knocked you into a different dimension, mate. That's what happened. I like Jorge Masvidal. I don't understand what his gripe is there. Does anyone else understand what his gripe? Did anyone else have a problem with the stoppage against Usman? I thought it was just a clean knockout. I didn't think that the referee had an awful lot to do with it. I might be wrong. I might be misremembering it. Let me know in the comments. Anyway. Topuria and Paddy the Baddy, Topuria is the guy that Paddy Pimblett threw that hand sanitizer bottle at. They had got into a bit of a scuffle, a bit of an altercation at the last UFC London event. But Topuria really needs to not get into a trash talk battle with Paddy Pimblett, because he's just coming off looking real terrible. Because, like, it's just how he backtracked on what he said as well, because basically, because, you know, Spanish is his first language, so that, again, it doesn't really help him, because he basically sent me, he put on Twitter, at Paddy the Baddy, eres un compinga, basically, comepinga, sorry, that's basically saying that he, like, eats dick, right? And that's Spanish for, like, you eat dick, basically, you eat dicks. And Paddy, being quite clever, just came back and said, "That's pretty homophobic, don't you think, mate? What if I did that? What if I actually did? What would you say then? Fucking weirdo. So stop using my name for publicity, you little bitch. Stick to being homophobic in your own country." That's terrible. That started going into Conor McGregor then. That's terrible. Awful. Anyway, I'm not going to try it. Anyway, basically, yeah, just saying that, like, that's homophobic or whatever. And he should have just, like, left it there, honestly, because then, like, Topuria came back and said, "Oh, I know when I said it, there's nothing wrong with it. I have never tried it, so I don't know if it's good or bad," to try and stop people being upset. Like, Paddy was trolling you, like, Joey, like, no one's actually going to be upset with you unless you let them be, Joey, unless you actually acknowledge it, and he has now. So now he's just like, "Hey, look, I didn't say there was anything wrong with it, you know, because that makes you look like a fucking pussy, dude, because you're fucking backtracking, like, all this time." It does, it's weird, it's a weird angle, and it's just like, but then, the best you can come up with is, "Well, just always remember that I'm your daddy." It's like, really? Is that it? Is that what you've got? I mean, fucking pathetic, mate. Just stop using Paddy. Joey, don't get into these things with Paddy, because you just look like a knobhead. I mean, to be fair, any publicity is good publicity. I'm talking about Topuria, and to be fair, no one really knows who he is outside of he's got a bit of a beef with Paddy the Baddy. Then you've got one of my biggest things in the news is that Dana White has officially said that he would be on board with doing an Ultimate Fighter with Tony and Khabib as coaches. It was suggested by Tony. He said that, you know, what I'd like, he actually, I think he said it in a message to Khabib, saying that, you know, I'd like to do an Ultimate Fighter series with you, because, you know, we could maybe squash some of that beef that we've got. And yeah, and you know what, I would watch the fuck out of that. I really would. I hope that they find a way of putting it together. I don't know how they would, because I think Khabib said that he'd want to do it as some kind of cross promotion with Eagle FC. That's not happening. Put that out of your head right now. It's just not going to happen. There is no upside for the UFC to do that. Like, your Eagle FC would get all of the extra promotion, and UFC would basically be... Like, yeah, there are a lot of companies that want to take advantage of the UFC's marketing Goliath. Like Bellator, they keep saying, "Well, you know, we'd be open to a cross-brand event." It's like, yeah, I bet you fucking would, Scott, because you would get all of the publicity of the UFC, and the UFC would get nothing extra out of it at all. Because I would say that there are UFC fans that know what Bellator is, and they watch Bellator. But I wouldn't say there are also people that watch the UFC that don't know what Bellator is. But they don't watch Bellator, sorry. I don't know what I'm trying to say here. There are lots of people that watch the UFC but don't watch Bellator, but I think there are probably far fewer that watch Bellator and don't watch the UFC, if that makes sense. You have to be a real MMA fan to watch Bellator as well. But what I'm saying is that everyone knows what the UFC is, whereas there are far more people that don't know what Bellator is. And so for that reason, the cross-promotion thing does not benefit the UFC in the slightest, which is why they won't entertain it. And yeah, so last thing, Troll of the Week. Yeah, this is probably quite a good one, actually. Because obviously you've got the new Obi-Wan Kenobi series on Disney+. Now you've got this one where they put Wanderlei Silva's face on it. It's like, one and now Kenobi. Because when he was talking to J.L. Sonnen when they're having their little scuffle, he was like, one and now? I want to know. What, you want to know? You disrespected our Brazil? So, yeah. And this one, harassment versus compliment. You've got... you got where is it? There we go. Harassment versus compliment. You've got Borginia, Paulo Costa. He's just he is a stud of a man. Like, what weirdness aside, you know, drinking habits, whatever, like the bizarreness on Twitter aside, he's a stud of a man. Look at him. Do you know what I mean? He's looking over that big old smile, say, hey, that dress looks sexy on you. You know, that's a big old compliment. And then you've got fucking Islam Makhachev looking like a fucking weirdo. And it's like, that dress looks sexy on you. It's like, yeah, no, that's harassment. And that is the difference. That has always been the difference. The crime is ugliness. That's the real crime. But yeah, anyways, before I get too down the rabbit hole on societies and all that nonsense, let's just wrap this one up. So obviously this week it's UFC 275, I believe. So you've got the headline event of Glover Teixeira against Judy Prochazka. And I will be breaking that fight down. I'll be putting down some terrible bets. That will be on the Patreon on Friday and on YouTube on the Saturday. And there's going to be a couple of extra fights broken down just on the Patreon. So head over to the Patreon, give that a look. If not, but either way, just keep watching, subscribe, share. And until next time, keep those odds long and those bets terrible.